You ever had a conversation with someone who was there, but they weren't really there? Like, this was a great time for me to go ahead and do a story about my kids, but I think the worst illustration of this is probably telling on myself. This one time a while back, I wish it was longer ago than it really was, my wife and I went to dinner one night. I took my wife on a date. That was a great chance for an applause right there. Like, I'm really winning this thing. Thank you. Thank you so much. So I took my wife on a date, like, that should be rewarded. And I sit down with her, and we have conversation, and I usually do a really good job of either leaving my phone in the truck, putting my phone upside down on the table, and for whatever reason, this particular day, like, I pull up my phone in the middle of our date night, and I start to respond to a couple messages, and you should never, never. And you ever get to the place, like, in a conversation when you're there, but you're not really there, where you start, like, subconsciously responding to things? So let me just walk it out for you. The next thing I know, my wife's got her phone out, but she's recording me. And she's asking things like, so when I get home, you're going to vacuum the living room? And I'm like, yeah. So on Saturday, you're going to let me go shopping with the girls? You're going to watch all the kids and get them to where they need to be? Yeah, sure, if that's what you want. So you think you can wash my car, maybe vacuum it out this week and really, you know, maybe get the oil change? It's been a couple hundred thousand miles since I've done that. And I'm like, yeah. Wait, what? Like, you ever been in a conversation with someone where they're there, but they're not really there? They're with you, but they're not present. This week in this brand new series we're talking about, we're asking God to awaken us. And today I want to get real specific and ask God to awaken us to his presence. The fact that God is with us is mind-blowing when we understand the depth and the width and just the power that it comes with being present with God. For so many of us, we go through life as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, or maybe not even as a Jesus follower, just like that. Like, we're here, but we're not really present. And I think we miss it. See, for a lot of people, like, even outside of the Christian faith, there's an understanding of this battle, this tension, this dispute between good and bad. Like, most people package it in that idea of, like, so there's a devil that sits on one shoulder and he's whispering things in your ear, and then there's an angel on your other shoulder. This is whispering, holy, 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 make good choices. And, like, there's this conversation that is continually battling in our mind, and it's close, but it's not reality. It's not real. It's not accurate. There really is a battle going on in our lives, and there really is good and bad. There's good and there's evil. And for some reason, we have this idea that the devil is this little dude in a red jumpsuit with a pitchfork who's, like, trying to get you to steal a pack of gum or lie about a coworker or maybe watch a movie you ought not watch. And we miss the real battle taking place. You see, our enemy, our spiritual enemy, like, this biggest priority is to separate us from the God of the universe, to create a gap in between us, to be able to create a divide and a barrier to where people can no longer connect with the God who created all things. And the devil, the enemy, will stop at nothing and leverage anything to create that separation, to widen that gap. For most of us, it's sin. We understand sin is simple. Sin creates a divide, a barrier, separates us from God. But it sometimes is much simpler than that. Sometimes it's the distractions and the busyness of life that create separation between us and God. Sometimes it's busyness or shame or complacency or pain or frustration or just getting focused on something less important. And the devil leverages that to be able to create this divide, create this separation to remove us or maybe even cause ourselves to remove ourselves, to grow the gap between God and his people. So our prayer, my prayer for today and this entire series is that God moves in ways that only he can. That God shows up and rattles us and awakens us. That God stirs us and draws our attention into him and away from complacency, away from sin, away from hurts, habits, and hangups, away from the things that have created space between us and God, away from routine, away from judgment, away from going through the motions, and just says, come on, come close. My prayer is that God awakens us to new levels of his presence, that God awakens us to his power, that God awakens us to his voice, that God awakens us to his purpose for the very reason that we were created to be on this planet, and that God awakens us to his perspective. And each week, that's my prayer, is that we leave challenged and encouraged, but drawn in to our God. That we're awakened in ways where we're not just going through the motions, we're not just going through the routines, but God truly awakens us. If I was going to give today a title, a longer title in your notes, I would simply call it this: God, awaken us to your presence. Letting go of the thing, anything that gets in the way of leaning in to intimacy with you. leaning into closeness, leaning into confidence with our God? What can we let go of to lean into the presence of God? There's just something about being there, but being present that changes everything. Presence is powerful. So a little bit of a Bible recap if you're not familiar with the Bible, or maybe you just need a refresher. God gives us this big, long story, this plan for God to be in relationship with his people. Back in the very beginning, God created a man and a woman. And in the beginning, God created man and woman and placed them in a beautiful, life-giving garden. A beautiful place and in a beautiful relationship. We as humans were created for one primary purpose, to be in relationship. First and foremost, in a relationship with God. And in the beginning, in the garden with God, Adam and Eve had it great because they were in great conversation, confirmation, relationship in the presence of God. God created us to be relational beings to each other. And even the fact that God created all things he created to be in perfect harmony with him. God gave Adam and Eve, he gave man and woman freedom to have anything that they wanted in the garden except for this one thing. He would say, that's for me. You don't need that. Don't use it. Don't take it. And don't take this fruit. And the devil shows up, right? And the devil shows up. And if we have this image of the devil sitting on your shoulder, we see things more like the devil sitting on the shoulder of Adam saying, hey, Eve's getting a little chunky. You better tell her to slay off a little of the fast food a little bit. Or whatever the reason was to stir up a fight or something to cause friction between the two of them. And the devil could have used lots of things to maybe put tension in that relationship. But instead, he went to Adam and Eve and he said, God's holding out on you. If God really wanted the best for you, he would give you everything, not just take away that one thing. And he starts to lay down this lie and manipulate this storyline to where Adam and Eve felt tempted to take the fruit that God said, this is the only thing you can't have. And at that point, sin entered the story. And sin is what separates us from God. And at that moment, sin separated Adam and Eve from God. It created a divide. No longer could the perfect relationship where God had created to be with his people exist. It had to be different. God is righteous and holy, and sin cannot exist in his presence. So he had to create space between his people and himself. It changed how people could be in the presence of God. The Bible actually talks a lot about the presence of God. Most commonly, we understand as believers, the omnipresence of God. Omnipresence, this means that God is all present. He's everywhere at the same time. Psalm 39 or 139 verse 7, David says this, that I can't escape your spirit, God, that there's nowhere I can go. I never can get away from your presence. From the lowest valleys to the tallest mountains to the depths of the seas, there's nowhere I can go and get away from the presence of God. God is everywhere at the same time. As a parent, maybe you can relate. There are often times where I need to be two or three places at once, but God is all places at once. God is omnipresent. He's been omnipresent since before there was time, space, and matter, because for God to create time, space, and matter, he had to exist outside of time, space, and matter. Otherwise, he couldn't create it, and God will be present for eternity. He will always be present. God is present everywhere. There's nowhere we can go to hide. In the room today, there's a great crowd of people, and it would be kind of cool, I mean, just to know, like, what if coming to our church, there was a billionaire? And this billionaire just, you know, they had their seat, they had their spot, this is the location they like to hang out, they worship with us, they pray with us, they're present with us in church gatherings. They're here, they're present. But it might be different if one day that same billionaire comes in with a stack of envelopes, and each side of one of those stack of envelopes is a $10,000 stack inside the envelope. And what if that billionaire just went around and just started passing out these stacks of $10,000? Like, I bet you didn't wish him his church that day. Like, this is a good day because there's a difference between knowing that they're here, being present, and becoming aware that they're here. For God, oftentimes, he chooses to reveal himself to us, to make his presence known to us. You might hear someone refer to it as the manifest presence of God, the made known presence of God. God is always here, but sometimes he chooses to make us more aware of his presence, a heightened awareness of his presence. And it actually goes all throughout the scripture. In Old Testament times, lots of cases where God was confined to a certain place or a certain space. At one point, the Jewish folks actually built, the Israelites built an ark, a chest, to put in the second draft of the Ten Commandments and a few other artifacts. And the presence of God concentrated and was placed and left inside this ark. And wherever they traveled around, they carried the ark, the presence of God would go with them, so strong and so concentrated that one day actually there was these people trying to transfer the Ark of the Covenant, and they used these long wooden poles because no one could touch it. And this one guy notices that one of the oxen is starting to stumble and the ark is about to fall, and what if the things fall out? And he reaches over to kind of stabilize it, and he dies instantly because of the power and the presence of God. God was so strong that he couldn't withstand it. Like, the presence of God has power. I mean, there's so many illustrations of the presence of God. When the temple was constructed, there was a room deep inside the temple where there was this giant divide, and it was referred to as the Holy of Holies, the presence of God confined to this space inside the temple. And there was all kinds of qualifications and restrictions that went into anyone who could even enter into this room to be that close, to be in the presence of God. One of my favorite stories in the Bible, it's about three guys who were kidnapped, and they were taken from their country into a different land, and they were forced to abandon their faith system and their belief system in God, and they were supposed to pick up the belief system of the people that they were living with, the captors that they had, and to the point where like a law was formed that if you don't believe, you'll be punished and killed by incineration. And they said, we're good. We've chosen God, and we'll take that all the way to our grave. So these men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were escorted into an incinerator, into a furnace. And even leading up to it, the prison guards who were leading them died because of the heat. But yet when these three found themselves in the furnace, there was a fourth being visible in there. The presence of God had come to protect them. There's so many times where the presence of God shows up in people's lives and changes things. The presence of God made known to us, made aware with us. And maybe you've been there before. Maybe there's been those moments where you know that God's all around, but something is different today. Maybe in a time of prayer, you sat down to pray and you just felt like God was sitting right next to you and you couldn't explain and you couldn't see him, but there was just something different about this moment. Maybe you've been in a time of worship and you're singing and you're just pouring your heart out and you just feel a closeness that you can't describe and you can't explain and it doesn't make sense and you don't know why, but something's different. God is here. God is here, but God is here. Earlier today in worship, I believe that God was here, that God was showed up and he made himself known for so many of us as we continued in our worship time together. Jesus even tells us about it. Matthew chapter 18 in verse 20, Jesus says, "For where two or three are gathered together as my followers, I am there among them." He's here. But when we gather as church, it's one of the values of gathering together as believers. He's here, but he's here. And I'm glad you showed up for church today because Jesus is here. Maybe it was that moment where you were just struggling. You were going through it. You were just facing tough times, uncertainty, things that didn't make sense, things that were hurtful and harmful, and all these things wrapped around you. And then suddenly someone prayed with you, and the peace that you couldn't explain settled in around you. And it didn't make sense, and it didn't make sense of what had happened, but it let you know that God's got this, and it's all going to be okay. But Jesus didn't stop there. Jesus didn't just stop with, you know what, let's just have presence everywhere. Let's have presence in pockets. Let's have presence everywhere with believers all the time. So Jesus comes and he changed the game. Jesus, the perfect, sinless Son of God, he comes and he gives his life as a sacrifice for you and for me. Jesus gave his life as a ransom payment for the debt that I had earned on my own, that I have earned because of sin in my own life. Jesus completed the conditions of the old covenant, the old promise of God, and the way that God had structured a relationship with him, and he made way for a new covenant, a new way to be in relationship, to have full access to the God of the universe. And in this new covenant, Jesus brought restoration to the broken. He brought life to the dead. He brought redemption and forgiveness to those who had created division between ourselves and God. He brought God back to where the presence of God was fully accessible to any who believe. Jesus' death, he purchased my admission ticket for eternity in heaven. Jesus' death, it saved me from the death that I deserve. But there's this really cool thing that happens after Jesus died. And sometimes as believers, we skip right over this verse. We don't understand the context, or we miss it, or we just forget the value and significance. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 51 says that at this moment, when Jesus died, took his last breath as human on the earth, at that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and rocks split apart. This curtain wasn't just like a pretty curtain in the entryway, like next to the stained glass. This curtain was thick and wide and tall, and it represented the division, the space, the separation between the presence of God in the temple that was limited and confined to this space and everyone else. And when Jesus died, he rips the curtain, revealing full access to every believer to have access to the presence of our God. The presence of God no longer confined to a place or to a space. Jesus took the penalty. He paid the price for my sin, which erased my sin, which tore the curtain of separation between me and my Creator. Full access. Restored, redeemed relationship. The story of redemption, Jesus restores the intimacy and the closeness and the confidence that we can have in God. Yes, it absolutely punched our ticket to heaven, but it created a relationship and access to the person of God, to the presence of God right now, right here in our own lives. And far too many Christians, we walk around with our insurance card, with our fire insurance card. I'm going to heaven, but I didn't even know I had access to God right now. I didn't even know that I could be in the presence of God right now. So my church, my prayer is this. If we're going to be the church that God has called us to be, if we're going to grow the kingdom like God has called us to grow, it can't be just on our own works alone. It has to be marked by the presence of Almighty God in everything that we do. It has to stir up on each side of us so that we can spread this love, this joy, this grace, and this salvation through our God. The greatest gift that God can give us is himself. You ever been around those people like, maybe they've said it, maybe you thought it, like, oh, well, you think you're God's gift to the world? Listen, God's gift to the world was Jesus, because God's greatest gift to the world is himself. That's not a statement of arrogance. That's a statement of the reality of the goodness of God, because in the presence of God, God is love. Not that God is a loving God, but in the presence of God, God is love. We are encapsulated in God's love. Man, when you're in those moments where you just feel the presence of God, you feel encapsulated by the love of our Heavenly Father. When we're in the presence of God, there is freedom. When we're in the presence of God, there is joy. When we're in the presence of God, there is peace. When we're in the presence of God, there is healing. There is forgiveness. There is hope. There is power. In the presence of God is unlike anything else we could ever experience. And it's no wonder that the enemy works so hard to create separation between us and God. It's no wonder the enemy works so hard to create an unawareness in us that I can be in the presence of my Savior. Jesus died to give us access, to awaken us to the presence of God Almighty. And I don't want us to miss it. I don't want us to miss out on a chance to walk every day in his presence. God is here, but God is here. And God is good. And God is with me wherever I go. Jesus died, and the curtain and the veil was torn so that God would no longer be hidden from us, but this, we would have full access to be in the presence of God. God revealed to me and to you, and Jesus, he didn't even stop there. That's not good enough. Jesus said, no, I'm going full-on restoration here. We're going to bring it all back to the perfection and the plan that God had. So Jesus, he sits down with the disciples, the followers that he had that were closest to him. He sits down like near the end of his time as a human on the earth, as the God-man on the earth, and he starts to like get specific about, okay, so I've been trying to give you some tips, but y'all ain't picking it up. There's going to be some things that happen in the next few moments, and when this happens, you just need to be ready, and they still weren't ready, but he's trying to explain it to them anyway. John chapter 16, Jesus sits with the disciples, and he says, listen, I'm going to go. I got to go away. But it's good. This is what he said, verse 7. But in fact, it's best for you that I go away, because if I don't, then the advocate won't come. But if I do go away, I will send him to you. The advocate, the Holy Spirit, the personal presence of God, the Holy Spirit of God, come sent through Jesus to live in us. The personal presence of God. Not just that God shows up in a gathering of believers, not just that God shows up when someone prays, but the personal presence of God, alive and active in me. Jesus says, I know it's been good for y'all that I've been here with you, but when I go, it's not just the group that's following around me. All the believers get access to this same presence. It changed the game forever. The Holy Spirit alive and active enough. Jesus says, I'm going to cancel your debt. I'm going to wipe it away. I'm going to tear down the barrier that separates you from God. But then I'm going to send my presence to personally be with you. Verse 13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth. Church, I don't want to get stuck in complacent Christianity. I don't want to get stuck going through the motions. I don't want to get stuck just knowing I've got my fire insurance card and that's good enough. I think that so many Christians, we miss out on the fact that God wants to have his personal presence known and revealed and felt in each one of Jesus' followers. It's not just a this generation problem. It's not because of technology. We got all these distractions. This has been an ongoing battle since the beginning of Christianity. I love this story in Acts chapter 19. It's a crazy little Paul's thoughts just kind of go a little bit crazy sometimes. He has this conversation. Acts 19, verse starting in verse 1, says, while Apollos was at Corinth, Apollos was an associate of Paul's. He was planting churches. He's a great preacher. Paul traveled through the interior regions as he reached Ephesus. on the coast where he found several believers. And he goes right to this question. Let's just jump right to the point, Paul. Verse 2, he says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them. They responded, no, we haven't even heard there was a Holy Spirit. I feel like maybe that's where some Christians live in our day and time. Yeah, we know Jesus. We've heard about Jesus in whatever way for a long time. But Jesus sent his personal presence to come to be with us, to live in us, to be our guide, to reveal all truth. And I think way too many Christians are going around with that card saying, going to heaven, going to heaven, going to heaven. Have you received the Holy Spirit? I didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. And that's not the church I want to be. That's not the pastor I want to be. That's not the dad or the husband I want to be. The greatest gift that God can give us is himself. And Jesus died and tore the veil to give us his presence to live inside of us. Church, that's not something to get cocky about. That's not something to flaunt. It doesn't make me better than anybody else to have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me. It doesn't make me better than you, and it doesn't make me better than you, and it doesn't make me better than you, but it makes me better than me. The Holy Spirit alive and active in me is the best form of Luke I could ever be. In the presence of God is the best that I can be. In the presence of God is the best dad that I can be. In the presence of God is the best husband I can be. In the presence of God is the best boss that I can be. In the presence of God is the best that I can be. Not because of me, common denominator, because I was in the presence, because I am in the presence, because I walk in the presence of God. Church, don't miss it. Don't just go through the motions of Christianity. But long and have a hunger to be in the presence of God. My prayer, God, awaken us to your presence. Luke chapter 5, if you have your Bible, it's a great place to turn. We'll camp there for just a moment. Luke chapter 5, so this is like the beginning of the journey of Jesus recruiting his first 12 followers, his closest followers. We call them his first disciples. Jesus is in the process of doing this like recruitment campaign. He goes from place to place, knows exactly the type of guy he wants to get, the guys he wants to grab, and he goes around and he starts to recruit them. Luke tells us in chapter 5 that Jesus was preaching one day, and in a huge crowd, they pressed into Jesus. Remember that, we'll come back to it. And as they pressed into Jesus, they kind of backed him into a corner or maybe more into a beach. They pushed him up against the water. So starting in verse 2, it says that Jesus noticed two empty boats at the water's edge. For the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. I feel like Luke is making a joke right there. Like why would a fisherman need to wash his nets? Like, they're already in the water all the time. What are you washing off of them? Like, I think that he was saying, y'all didn't catch nothing, huh? You just out washing your nets? So he continues on. They're washing their nets. Stepped onto the boat. Jesus asked Simon, the owner, to push out into the water. So he sat in the boat. So Jesus sat in the boat, and he taught the crowds from there. Verse 4. When he finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out a little bit deeper. Throw down your net and catch some fish. To where I would imagine if I was Peter, I would have said, hey, bro, I'm Simon, owner, entrepreneur, and operator of Zebedee Fishing Essentials. You might be a good preacher. I heard you preaching right there. It was pretty solid. You ain't a fisherman. This is my boat. I'm going to fish where I want and when I want. That's what Peter could have done, but it's not what he said at all. Peter had only heard Jesus this time right here preaching and sharing from his boat, and yet Peter responds like this in verse 5, Master, which means person I'm giving authority in my life to, just after this moment. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing, but if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. Man, what an attitude of surrender. What an attitude of humility. I've been doing this my whole life. This is my name right here on the back of this boat. But Master, Lord, Savior, if you say to let them down, I'm going to do it right now. Verse 6, and they let down their nets, and they were so full of fish that they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in on the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish on the verge of sinking. Verse 8, when Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh, Lord, please leave me, because I'm such a sinful man. For he was awestruck by the number of fish that he had just caught, as were the others that were with him. Verse 10, his partners James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. And Jesus replies to Simon, don't be afraid. You got nothing to worry about. From here on out, you'll be fishing for people. Verse 11, and as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. If you're taking notes in your Bible or on your notepad or on your iPhone or your Android device, that's a great passage, a great verse. Let's just go to verse 11, and let's just highlight that for a minute. I mean, think about what Peter was doing when he landed and left everything. I mean, these are his boats that he owned. This is his business. These are his partners. This is his family. This is his thing. This is his gig. This is more fish than he's ever caught before. Two full boats. And as soon as he got offshore, I'm done. I'm walking out. I'm out of here. Why? Because Peter knew that this was good. Look at the accomplishments that I did today. Look what I achieved today. Look at the popularity that I'll receive because I caught 2 full boats on a morning. And Jesus said, drop your net. Peter recognized, as good as things were for me, being with Jesus is better. As good as this moment is for me, I'll leave it all behind. Because being with Jesus was better. There was something about being present with Jesus. So let Peter know, look, done. Y'all want some fish? Free fish. Everybody, anybody, free boats, take them. I'm out. I'm moving on with Jesus. Peter and crew, man, they knew. Simon, Peter and crew, they knew there was something different about being present with Jesus. Church, I want to challenge you this week. Maybe today, maybe you already walked in with it and God's already been struggling, just trying to knit together in your heart and you're struggling with, man, do I want to do this? Do I want to let it go? But I would encourage you with this. If you want to be awakened to a new level of the presence of God, there's probably something to let go of. There's probably an attitude. There's probably a habit. There's probably a hurt. There's probably something holding on to your heart. And you want with one hand to say, God, come close. And with the other hand, you want to hold on to it. Church, can I just encourage you today to take on that posture, maybe in your heart, maybe even physically, and let it go. Let go of the thing that's taking the place and the space to where God wants to settle in His presence. When you came in today, you should have received a card. It's a real simple little card. Awaken logo on one side and 2 columns on the back side. The one column says this simple statement here of let go. I would challenge you and encourage you. Maybe you already know what it is, but maybe it's just a prayer you need to have until God reveals it to you. What is the thing to let go of, to make space for the presence of God to settle in? What is that thing? What is that habit, that distraction? What is that thing stealing your attention away? What is that sin to let go of that we've been holding on to, just to let it go? Because we know, we recognize it's created separation between us and God. It has created a division between us and God. It has kept God far, far away. And today, church, I'm telling you, He wants you to be awakened to His presence, that He wants you to be drawn into Him and the closeness and the confidence that comes along with following our God. Peter had his issues, man. I love Peter. Peter and I think could relate really well. Sometimes Peter would open his mouth before opening his mind. Sometimes Peter would follow his heart instead of following intelligence. But Peter knew, even in this moment, I'm going to leave everything I can behind to follow Jesus. Jesus hadn't died yet. Jesus hadn't rose from the dead. Jesus hadn't come back to life. Peter just knew in this day, sitting on a boat, listening to the master, there's something different about being in the presence of Jesus. So later on, Jesus dies, and He comes back to life. And He visits Peter again, and He makes him this promise. It's good that I go, because when I go, I'll send the advocate to you. And Scripture goes on in Acts and tells us about all these incredible things that the apostles, that the first disciples who became followers, even in the afterlife of Christ, that they followed Him so intently and so close that they did great things in Acts, which is the Acts of the Apostles. Acts 5 tells us all these great works that they were doing. And there's just one of my favorite stories in Acts chapter 5, starting in verse 15, says, as a result of the apostles' work, Peter and other guys, sick people were brought out to the streets on beds and mats so that Peter's shadow might fall across them as he went by. Crowds came from the villages around Jerusalem bringing their sick, and they're possessed by evil spirits, and they were all healed. Peter was just a dude, but he was so marked by the presence of God that even his shadow impacted the lives of people. Church, that even his shadow, listen, a couple years ago, it's been a few years ago now, I met with a guy. We had a good time, we had a good visit, and we got to the end of the meeting. I could tell something was weighing on him, so I did something very pastoral. I said, can I pray with you? Way to go, Luke, way to stretch. And he's like, you know what, Luke, man, things are okay for me personally, but if you could just pray for my shadow. It was the weirdest request I'd ever got. Well, I've had some weird ones, maybe not the weirdest, but I was like, excuse me, could you repeat that? I'm like, what's so significant about your shadow? And I didn't even remember this story. And he starts to tell me, he's like, well, I was reading my Bible. This is a new believer. I was reading my Bible the other day that we need to be sharing the gospel. And I'll tell you what, I work right next to this guy who doesn't know Jesus. And I feel like God has just been prompting me, like, share the gospel with him, share the gospel with him. And Luke, I've done everything I know to do. I've tried to be aggressive and bring it on. I preached the word to him, the word that I know. And then that didn't work. So I came in much more subtle. And I was like, man, I just rest in peace today that God has got me and God is loving me. And he's like, I've tried to be kind. I've tried to serve. I even offered to clean out his gutters. this dude won't give me the time of day when it comes to sharing my faith with him. And I was reading this scripture, and he talked about this scripture in Acts 5, and he said, I read this scripture where this guy, where Peter was so marked by the presence of God that even his shadow changed people's lives. Luke, I don't know the words to say, I don't have the actions to do, but I want to be so marked by the presence of God that my shadow, church, we got a shadow. Wherever we go, we got a shadow. Is it your shadow, or is it marked by the presence of God? 3 years later, almost to the day, I stood next to a baptismal tank where that guy baptized his coworker. Man, church, I want everywhere that we go to be marked by the presence of God, so much so that the shadow, not to draw attention to ourselves, not because of anything that Peter did or the apostles did, but because they were so marked by the presence of God that people caught on, that people brought their sick to line him in the street that his shadow might touch them. That's the God that we serve. That's the presence of God that we have access to. I am an application guy. Like, I read something, I learn something, I want to know. Give me 3 steps on how to put this in practice. Tell me how to do this. Let's make it happen. That's oftentimes where I rest in my, like, my go-to in preaching is, I'm going to give you 3 steps today, and we're going to make a big difference in the world. But can I just tell you, we could all accumulatively work for 1,000 years and not accomplish anything near what God could in a moment of us in his presence. I want to be a church that goes to work, man. We do our best to shine the light, to reflect Jesus, to do all that we can to share the good news. But church, I want to be more so than that, marked by the presence of God so much that our shadow creates an impact on people. God, I just want your presence. I just want to be in your presence. As you read through Scripture, like all throughout New Testament and Old Testament, it gives descriptions and even sometimes actual use of fire to represent God's presence. Sometimes it's kind of crazy. Sometimes God would move through fire in his presence. Genesis chapter 15, God moves a torch. Exodus chapter 3, God speaks to Moses through a bush that was burned but not consumed. Exodus 14, God leads the Israelites through the desert, through the darkness, with a torch, with a light, with a pillar of fire. Even into the New Testament, Acts chapter 2, the presence of God that fell and was revealed on the day of Pentecost, flames and tongues of fire fell on all who believed. The comparison is really actually pretty powerful. The presence of God and fire. Fire has so many attributes that are so encouraging, that are so life-giving. I mean, clear up to the sun that gives light to the earth. Fire does several things. In your notes, fire provides warmth. And for us, it's time maybe to lean in to the warmth of the presence of God. Maybe you came in today broken. Maybe you came in today sad. Maybe you came in today just overwhelmed by life, by circumstances, by reality. And can I just tell you that oftentimes the Holy Spirit is referred to as the comforter, the great comforter. I think of it like the comforter that sits on our bed that I'm not allowed to use. And that comforter, when I do get to crawl underneath it, all the warmth and the feeling of just being surrounded and held in those times where we feel alone, cold, broken, far from God. Maybe it's time to lean into the presence of God and his warmth. Maybe for you, fire protects. Just like my friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were protected by the presence of God. But for some of us, we forget that over 300 times Scripture tells us, do not be afraid. Why? Because in the presence of God, there is protection. In the presence of God, you are surrounded by the God who loves you stronger than any father ever could. For some of us, we need to lean into the fire that purifies, the presence of God that purifies. And church, we'll talk about this later in the series some more, but there's some reality to living a life of sin and wondering why God is not near. There is a reality to letting ourselves understand the conviction that the Holy Spirit wants to do on the inside of us, to reveal to us the sin barrier that we've created by the choices that we've made and that we refuse to let go of, and then wonder why God's saying, I'm right here, just open the door. Maybe it's time for some of us to talk with someone, to confess that sin. John 16, we read it already. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And maybe for some of us, there's a hurt, a habit, a hang-up. Maybe there's a temptation. Maybe there's a sin we're just hiding, and it's time to come clean and to confess and let God's Spirit convict and purify. It might sting, it might hurt, it might be embarrassing, but I'm telling you, church, it's the right thing to do. Maybe it's time to lean into the fire that illuminates. Wherever there's fire, you can see clear. You can take the torch. You can take the flashlight. You can see into the darkness. Psalm 119 tells us that the word of God is the lamp to guide my feet and the light to illuminate my path. The Holy Spirit, the personal presence of God, it gives me clear direction and instruction on where to go. For some of us, maybe we've put together an image or an idea or an identity that we think that we are based on what we've heard, based on what people have told us, or maybe that we've even put on ourselves. And we're walking around just struggling to know what to do and who we are. And we just need to lean into the presence of God that illuminates to see ourselves the way God sees us. To see that we're not defined by our past, we're defined by our Savior. To see that we're not restricted to the things that we thought we were or that someone said about us, but by our God who said, you are chosen, you are set free, you are forgiven, you are my dearly beloved. We need to see the way God sees us. For some of us, maybe it's clear direction. You're in this thing of life where you're just going through the motions and you can't really see, God, is this where I'm supposed to be? Is this the step I'm supposed to take? Or I don't know what's next for me, and I'm asking you to lean in to God's presence to illuminate, God, what's for me? God, align me to your perfect plan for me. And the last one, fire attracts. Normally this time of year in September, like at the Smith House, you can catch a fire out in the backyard 3 or 4 nights a week. And there's just something about going out to that fire where you just keep scooting your chair in a little bit closer. You get the s'mores out, you get a little chilly, you warm your hands up. Fire attracts. There was something about Jesus, the presence of Jesus, no matter where he went, people were drawn into him in a large crowd. Remember, we read the story, and the crowds kept pressing him in. When Jesus sat down at a dinner table, people couldn't get close enough. When Jesus sat down for a one-on-one conversation, people wanted to be close, to be near. Fire attracts. Church, I want to be a gathering of believers who attract people. But not just because we're friendly, not just because we're servant-minded, not just because we're caring, not just because we're generous. I want to attract people in because we are marked by the presence of God. And when people come here, man, it was friendly, it was fun, it was kind, but there's something different in every gathering at Crossroads Community Church. Marked by the presence of God. So what do we do? What do we need to let go of? What's that thing we're holding on to that we need to let go of and make place and make space for God? And then where can we lean in? Where can we lean in to God's goodness? Where can we lean into the peace that surpasses all understanding? Maybe for you, you've been going through the challenges. Maybe for you, man, there's been so many heartaches and so many tough times. Maybe for you, this season of where we are as a world and even in our community has been such a challenge for you, and it's weighed on you, and it's caused worry and stress and anxiety. It's caused frustration. Maybe you've experienced a lot of loss that's just been painful for you, and you've tried to do this on your own, and you've tried to seek help on your own. Church, can I tell you, I love good Christian counseling. I love good Christian wisdom. I think it's so imperative and so important, but we could work for 1,000 years. And God can accomplish more in a moment of his presence. It's time to lean into the peace that God offers. Not try to fight it on your own, not try to deal with it on your own. Psalm 34:18 tells us that God is close to the brokenhearted. God is everywhere, but he's close to the brokenhearted. There's a special place in God's presence for those of us that are feeling brokenhearted. Maybe for you, it's leaning into the presence of God that purifies. It's refusing to hang on any longer to that sin that's caused separation between you and God. It's refusing to let go any longer of that attitude, of that discontentment, of that poor attitude of judgment, that critical spirit that you have, to let it go and say, you know what, I'm done being that person. God, I repent, and I lean in to your presence. Maybe it's time to let go of the labels, the identity that's been formed for you, and lean into who God created you to be. Maybe it's time to let go of the frustration, the stress, the worry, and lean into who God has shown you that you are. Maybe it's time to let go of the distractions, the busyness, everything else trying to get your attention. Those cravings that are drawing you to a place where it might look like it's going to satisfy, but you found and you've learned it doesn't. It's time to stop chasing after everything else and fully devote yourself to following Jesus, to let go and to lean into the goodness, to lean into the righteousness, to lean into the love, to lean into the joy, and to lean into the presence of our God. I don't want hype. I don't want the counterfeit. I don't want a replica. I don't want an impersonator. I just want to be with my God. And everything else falls into place. And everything falls into space. So wherever you are, whether you're listening online today, whether you're sitting in this room at South Campus, Don't you know that God has gone to great lengths to get you here today? Like things he put in motion, things that he put in place, steps that started happening, people that invited you way back, people that sat down that moment where you just felt it and you just know that church was the place you were supposed to be. And maybe you've been here a long time and you've been going through the motions and you were going to miss today, but you're here today. And maybe you've never been to church. And today your friend drug you to church because they gave you that stinking invitation. And here you are. And I got to tell you, that wasn't for an accident. That God has been working hard to draw you in. That God has been working to draw you into his presence. God put in motion that you would know him. Why? Because God needs to do the work that only God can do. And God will pass the test that we can't pass. And God will remove the sin that we can't remove. Because God alone can deal with our sin separation problem. And he sent Jesus to do it. I can't fix this on my own. I can't fix what's going on in the world. I can't even fix myself. But Jesus can. And I believe that in the presence of God, miracles still happen. And I believe that in the presence of God, restoration still takes place. And I believe that in the presence of God, that lives are forever changed. And I believe in the presence of God that we have gained access to the perfect creator of the universe. I believe that Jesus showed up, lived a perfect life, and then gave his life as a sacrifice for me to erase my sin issue, to remove it, to take it to the cross, and to let it die. So many good things that we have to go for in our life. So many things we can be excited about. But better than any good thing that we could experience is to be in the presence with Jesus. I need Jesus. I need him to get through the day. I need him in the valley. I need him in the storm. I need him in the tough spot. I need him every single day to walk with me, to illuminate my path, to remind me of where to go, to show me who I am, whose I am, what he's got. I don't do this often. I don't close a service like this very often, but I'm going to invite all of us in the room and joining online to close your eyes. To take a moment, clear your mind, to let go of the thoughts of what's to come, to let go of the distractions going on in your world, to let go of whatever frustration you carried in here today, to try to let all of that go, and to open up your heart. My eyes are closed, but my heart is open. Would you open your heart to the creator of the universe who sent his son to redeem you? Would you open your heart to have access to the God of the universe who wants nothing more than to be in relationship with you? Would you open your heart to God Almighty who loves you more than we would ever understand? And while your heart is open, would you open your mind? Would you open your mind enough to say, God, I want to let go of anything getting in the way from your presence. God, I'm letting go of anything that separated me from you. While our heart is open and our mind is open, I'm going to invite you to pray this with me. You can pray it out loud if you're comfortable with it. You can pray it in your heart and in your mind if you'd rather do that. Let this be a defining awakening moment for each of us. Jesus, will you come in? Will you be present in my life? Will you come closer than you've ever been before? Jesus, I want to know you. I want to be filled with your presence. I need you in my life. Jesus, I believe you gave your life to save mine. So God, I want to repent, to turn from my sin, to give it up, to let it go. And I want to give you control. God, let your presence be known in my life. Let your presence be seen in my life. I receive your gift of salvation, and I receive your personal presence in my life. God, but show me that in new ways. God, bring me to a new place. Reveal to me a new level of your presence. Today, I am awake. In Jesus' name.